What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward Travel Guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed, on YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, we're Visible. We're the wireless company with nothing to hide. Seriously. Hidden fees? We don't have them. Annual contracts? Not our thing. Great wireless on just one line? Now that's more like it. Get unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month. Taxes and fees included. That's right, $25 a month, every month. Sorry, hidden fees. We're just not that into you. Sometimes the choice is just Visible. Switch today at Visible.com. Rate with service on the Visible plan. For additional terms and network management practices, see Visible.com.
What's going on, people of the internet? Welcome back to another episode of the Waveform Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Marquez.
I'm Andrew.
And I'm David.
And today we're going to start it off by unpacking Samsung's Packed Unpacked event 2022. Thank you for the pun, David. I didn't think I'd get through that without breaking down, but I got through it.
I'm impressed.
It's the beginning of our busy season too, though. So that's sort of how we think about these Samsung announcements, but we'll talk through them. There's some good phones and a watch or two watches. And then we're going to sort of revisit the beginning of our year, in which we made a bunch of predictions about how the smartphone year might go and see how accurate we think we were. Maybe we're still on track. Maybe some of it's been thrown off. I will just throw a spoiler in here. I already have a compact smartphone of the year, easy front runner. Mm-hmm. You guys probably already know what that is. But without any further ado, let's just start with the event. Let's start with Unpacked. We were saying the word packs is what we're going to use because we did get a bunch of stuff. There were two phones, two watches, and a pair of headphones. Where should we start?
I guess we start on the phones, unless people want to wait till the end.
Save the best for last. I think the phones are actually pretty simple.
Yeah.
So let's just do the phones.
Okay.
Two phones, Flip 4 and Fold 4. My summary is Flip 4 and Fold 4, which both start at the same price as last year's model, are incremental refinement type upgrades from the Flip 3 and Fold 3. I think the biggest improvement to the Flip is going to be battery life. We have yet to test these, so this is just my prediction, but it's getting a Snapdragon 8 Plus Gen 1, and it's going from a 3400 to a 3700 milliampere battery. So for a small phone,
it's 3300?
Either way, it's getting a bump to 3700. So it should be a nice usability improvement. I've used other phones with Snapdragon 8 Plus Gen 1s, and they've had pretty great efficiency, so I'm looking forward to testing that. Mm-hmm. And then the biggest improvement, or at least change with the Fold 4, to me seems to be, I mean, it's a lot of minor things. It's 3 millimeters wider on the front cover screen. It's got some slightly thinner bezels on the inside. It also has a Snapdragon 8 Plus Gen 1 and the same size battery as last year, but it also has a second generation under display selfie camera. And that camera, to me, we actually have another phone in the studio that mm-hmm. has the second generation under display selfie camera. And we haven't made a video about it yet, but we've tested it. And the amount of times you actually notice the camera under the screen is way less. Mm-hmm. It looks much better. There isn't any pixelation when you drag things over the display. It looks really good. But the pictures that come out of it look the same at best, sometimes worse.
Do you remember when we put the, I think it was the OnePlus 7 Pro underwater with the pop-up selfie camera and it came out?
I do.
I feel like it's hazed over like that before the phone totally broke.
It kind of is what it looks like. Yeah.
It sort of has like a dehaze effect that applies afterwards, and you can see it go from being very hazy to processing and then applying.
Yeah, it's funny how dramatic it is. You can see it happen in the impressions video. We have a clip of it, and it like snaps into being processed.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I don't know.
Video calls are going to be kind of hazy.
I'm very concerned about how video calls will look on that phone.
Yeah.
Which is funny because that's the phone you want to do video calls on, and you want to take a conference call and like set it up like a little mini laptop and all that stuff, so... Yeah, that's the phones. I don't know. Do you guys have any thoughts on them being incremental upgrades?
It seems like though they did like one kind of cool feature for both of them, which was they made the Flip 4, the front screen, more customizable, right? And I think like the biggest increment from Flip 1 to Flip 2 was like actually making that front screen usable and having some things in it. So that feels kind of cool. And then in terms of the Fold 4, like you said, it's very incremental. It seems much more polished and the form factor feels better, that outside like screen. But then also this is the first one shipping with 12L, Android 12L, which is right. like the Android for larger screens.
For foldables,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so you have like dock on the bottom, which there's a lot of new, or there should be a lot of new features to make that inside screen feel hopefully much smoother.
And I think the dock's pretty sweet.
The dock looks really cool. Like it makes total sense.
Yeah, just lives at the bottom and just has whatever recent apps you've used and whatever favorite apps you want to keep down there. And then you just like swap back and forth between apps super fast. I wonder if I switch to navigation gestures, how that will work. Because when I use it in the impressions event, it was with the button navigation.
Yeah.
And so they put the buttons over to the side and then the dock was in the middle. But I typically immediately switch Samsung phones and every phone to gesture navigation. So if that's at the bottom, then where does the dock go? Like right above that?
Probably underneath it.
Should be interesting.
You're saying
that probably underneath it. Because you'd have to swipe anyway. So if you're swiping from the very bottom versus like tapping on the dock, I feel like it would be able to.
Well, you're saying if you added the old three bar navigation, right?
Then no, where it would currently, it currently has.
It has it?
When
really?
I tried
the dock,
it. Yeah. So by default, three bar navigation, they put the three buttons all the way in the corner and they put the dock in the middle of the bottom. My thought is, isn't the middle of the bottom usually where you swipe up to do go home and multitask? Yeah. So if I try to switch to gesture navigation, where does the dock go? Sounds like it'll just sit right
above.
On top.
That's just my guess. But.
What what did the Fold 3 do? It still had gesture and navigation, right?
Or yes, but it didn't have that dock, I guess.
It just, it almost sounds like they brought back the three buttons onto the dock. I can only assume it still has gesture navigation and it's just also going to be there.
I mean, that's the first thing I'm going to try.
Yeah. I'm really interested in kind of holding the Fold 4 and comparing it to the feeling of the Fold 3 because the fact that they changed the aspect ratio slightly. Like both phones have a 6.2-inch display on the front, but I'm imagining that the slightly wider phone is going to feel more like a regular phone. I think that a lot of reasons that people really liked the Oppo Find N or maybe like some of the Huawei phones is because the aspect ratio feels more like you're holding a regular phone. And the Folds have always felt like a candy bar, especially the original one. But over the years, like they covered the screen, the front with a screen, but it's still so narrow. So even the slight change where they like shrunk it slightly and then moved that height to the side so that it has the same
pixel density.
Yeah, it's the same 6.2 inches diagonally.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just a very slightly different aspect.
I do think
it's really, really subtle. But
it's very subtle when you look at it, but I agree. When you hold it, I'm sure it's gonna be far different because you talk about the Oppo Find N, people liked it more. They thought this was too tall. Yeah. Then think about also the Duo feels way too thick. Like there's something about we're used to holding a phone. And the closer we can get to that normal phone. And so you add that little change width and height, and you also add this smaller hinge now. It looks so much more like when you look next to them, it's easy to look online and say like, that's so much little of a difference. But in hand, I bet it feels totally different.
So I only had the phone for like an hour for my impressions, and I didn't get to hold it next to the old phone. But in hand, as I just looked at it, it looked like a very tall rectangle like the old ones usually do.
Yeah.
But that is one thing you can say about Samsung's like Fold upgrades year over year is something stay the same. The camera systems are similar usually every year. The battery is the same from last year. But the one thing that they always do is they make the outside screen a little bit better to use as your normal phone so that you don't have to open it. And that's sort of the big advantage of the Fold over the Flip is you can just use it like a normal phone and never even open it and you're fine. But yeah, I think just a small, subtle, I think the Find N is a much bigger difference. I think that's a pretty dramatic, relatively speaking, difference in aspect ratio versus this 3 millimeter wider versus the old Fold.
It's stepping closer. It's would you prefer Find N over from what you held with the Fold 4?
It's a good question. It's very similar. I think I would prefer the Fold 4. Slightly, because I like the inside screen better. I thought the inside screen of the Find N was not big enough.
If you were going, when you unfolded it,
I think it's the question of like, do you want a big phone or do you want a small phone? It's sort of the same idea, because when the Find N is closed, it is pretty small. Yeah, it almost looks like a Zen phone size. It's
the Fold
something.
And the Fold Pro Max.
Yeah. There.
So give Samsung any ideas, please.
Yeah. Two prices on both of these. We have $1,000. They basically didn't
same
change,
price.
Right?
Yeah.
Same prices same price. As last time. The battery didn't change on the Fold 4. Like, it really is refinement.
Yeah.
Like you said.
It's very rare that in smartphones we get phones that year over year look almost exactly the same. Every single year they're at least slightly different. Samsung has slowly transformed their lineup. Like,
yeah. In Samsung world, I feel like it's pretty common for them to just change things all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, we're used to like Apple going, yeah, this is the S year, it's gonna look the same. Mm-hmm. You just have to just see the S badge on the back. But yeah, in Samsung world, that's a little less common. So whether it's changing materials on the back, this one looks like the same satin as last year, or if it's changing camera layouts or whatever it is, they didn't really do too much of that this year. They're just like, yeah, settling in.
Yeah, they definitely do it more than other manufacturers. Like the S20 to 21 to 22 all look more similar than most other phone manufacturers do.
But they always change something about it.
I think like for their regular phones, they need to like have something a little different to cause a little more hype, where this is still a folding phone with an under-display fingerprint or a selfie camera. It's like, it's pretty wow factor already, so they don't have to do as much. But like the S21 looked so good, and then the S22 Ultra, they're like, oh, let's just screw it up a little bit so it looks different.
Yeah.
They're like, they do change it, but they don't change it. It's confusing. But I like that they're keeping this. I like that they're refining this, because this is a new form factor that they have to refine, because it hasn't quite made it yet.
This is I've been thinking about like if this is a whole video that I want to make or not, but sort of what's the state of foldables basically. Mm-hmm. Because we had the first generation where we got, oh, this is a cool idea, it folds in half. Okay, now what are they going to do better? And the first to second generation jump was, okay, we get to see what we've learned about these foldables and what we actually want to make better. And for the Fold, it was like, we made the outside screen way bigger so you can use it more as a regular phone. Yeah. We learned all these things about durability. So those are things.
Right.
So we got all these big changes. We got generation 3, smaller changes. Generation 4, even smaller changes. And now we're just sort of like set on like what a Galaxy Fold is. Same thing with the Flip. Like, we had a tiny screen, and then we want like more information on the outside screen, so that got bigger. And then the next one was pretty close.
Was there no screen on the first Flip?
It was very small.
It was really small.
Was it? Okay.
It was like, it showed you like the time. Yeah, it showed you the time, and it could show you little notification badges.
Okay, so it was like dot pixel or whatever. Dot matrix.
It was an actual LCD display.
It was a screen,
display.
It wasn't very useful. Okay. And then immediately Samsung and everybody using them realized, oh, we still want to be able to just glance at the phone. Like, when my phone buzzes and I look at the phone and I just don't know what's going on and I have to open it, okay, we want a little bit more functionality on the outside. So we got a bigger screen on the outside.
Yeah.
And now Samsung's settled in.
Yeah.
Like, it just looks the way it looks. And then you look at the rest of the foldables out there, and they're kind of settling into the same form factors.
Yeah.
And I just wonder what that says about where we are in foldables. Is it like we want things to fold in half and be practical, but are we out of ideas already? Didn't we just see all these tri-fold TCL concept phones and all these other interesting ideas that might not have a spot yet, but maybe doable in the future? I don't know. But it seems like we have like two or maybe three total versions of a folding phone that you could buy.
I think with how many other companies are seeing coming out with them, like, Razer just announced they're doing their Razer 3,
Razer 3.
Then was it Xiaomi just released?
They're doing one, I believe. It's the Mi Fold 2.
Like, we're seeing a lot of other companies doing these.
Okay, you know what's funny about those two phones you just mentioned?
They're the same form factor.
Yeah, they're the same. The Razer 3
is a flip.
Remember, the Razer looked like kind of different. Like, it had this sort of retro vibes, and it looked like that old Moto phone we remember from a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Razer 3, they've gone, hey, okay, turns out you want a big screen and you want it to be flattened up. Here's a Flip 3.
Yeah, it looks way more like a Flip 3. Like, when it's opened, I'll pull it up for you, Andrew.
I think I looked at it earlier. Yeah, it's funny because when it's opened, it almost looks
the back still looks more like a Razer, but that could almost be like just a colorway or a skin.
Yeah.
Two-tone. And then you look at the inside and it looks like a wider flip.
Yeah, it does.
Which at least it's wider, I guess.
It's funny. It definitely is like ditching the nostalgia aspect of the Razr with that like slim foot.
Yeah. The really slim top part that is very iconic.
Which is fun. I think everyone's given. They realized the nostalgia wasn't selling that thing correctly.
Yeah, I'm guessing it didn't sell super well. But the other one too, the Xiaomi Fold 2, the Mix Fold 2, also looks very similar to a Fold.
Yeah.
Just thinner.
Yeah, I think but then there is the like XS, the Huawei Mate XS, so that's the XS2, which is different style.
It's and
like
I think my argument is that one might die.
Yeah.
If I were to pick one to die, it would be that. If I were to guess one would die, it would be that. I'm not picking it to die.
You can always pick one. No, that's the one where you fold it around the outside.
It would be the most fun to break.
It's the easiest to break.
The easiest to scratch. Yeah. It's scary.
I think it'd be interesting. Like, think back to when this first Samsung Fold came out. Like, we were all pretty, let's say the 1.5 Samsung Fold came out.
Sure.
Like when that came out, 3 years ago now? 4? Did you think at this point, like we would be this far along? Like we would only be, we would be refining at this point. We wouldn't still be, or did you think we would still be in this very prototypey feeling? Like no chance you ever see this. Cause I've seen a couple folds in the wild. Like they're out there.
They're out there.
I wouldn't have guessed that quickly.
I think Samsung, because they're the only one like in the US making foldable phones besides like the Motorola Razr, which they didn't make a 3 of this year. I think it's coming out next year in the US, so nothing even shipped in 2022 from
it's like China
them.
Only.
It's China only for a bit. It'll come out in the US eventually, I think. Samsung is like way, way, way ahead of everybody else at this point. And I see folds and flips, more flips than folds, but I saw like a 65-year-old dude with a Fold in my cafe the other day, and I was like,
nice,
you rock.
Sick.
But at this point, they're like 4 years ahead. So I think that most companies look at the entire landscape with a safety measure in mind. And it's clear that the small that becomes big idea is a safe idea at this point. And you can either do really small that becomes big or regular that becomes bigger. And those have proven themselves. And nobody else wants to be like the trifold one that has no idea if anyone's going to buy it.
Yeah. I think the two basic concepts are small that becomes big or big that becomes small. So like small that becomes big is you're using a small phone, but you want this crazy tablet thing in your pocket. That's the Fold. And the other idea is you have a normal phone or like a sort of a big phone and you want it to be smaller in your pocket when you put it away. And that's the flip idea.
Yeah.
I think we're still, the jury's still out on if we're going to see like a Pixel Fold or an Apple folding phone or someone else might be jumping in eventually someday. But to your question about like, you know, once we saw the first gen, how long did we think it would be till it stagnated maybe? I also look at the other big like phone form factors. Like, I think four generations in is when we got a nice holding point. When you look at Galaxy S1, 2, 3, and then 4, Galaxy S4 was like, oh, the identity is set. It's a smooth Android phone with Samsung software and an OLED display and like flagship spec. And like iPhone 4 was like square edges, home button, small screen iOS phone. Like you got that identity with iPhone 4. And
then it was Pixel
4.
I'm just kidding.
I don't know about Pixel 4.
I'm just kidding.
Not a strong legacy. Like
Google had a really strong identity with Pixel up until the 6. Actually, until the 5.
You mean Nexus?
Well, yeah, it'd be kind of weird because like Nexus.
Especially the Pixel 2 through 4 felt like a cohesive family.
Yeah. But then
when they got to the 5, they were like, we're going to make it cheap. And it's just going to be plastic. And then the 6 is like, hello, I'm here. Good morning. How are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. And now it just looks like an alien or whatever. But
interesting.
Fold,
you know, four generations in, we know what we have.
Yeah.
But I think there could be some stuff on the horizon that's way more interesting.
I really want to see a company come out and just make something that none of us are even thinking of. Like, that we haven't even thought of before.
TCL.
Well, yeah.
But
yeah,
that's the problem is they like prototype things and they get people excited and they're just like, and this is why we scrapped it. And I'm just true. Like, okay, but I just want to use it.
I mean, that's what, there was like Vivo for a while that felt like they were the ones doing that with like the fingerprint scanner and everything. And they walked so everyone else could run. And,
Vivo has done that for a lot of stuff.
Yeah. They always felt, they felt like the prototype company for like a while. But
however, I did go to China for a Vivo event where they had no buttons or ports on a phone. And I'm just like, please don't do this.
Stop it. Stop, Vivo.
You can stop now.
Thanks. Whatever you're doing there, please stop.
Yeah.
I do think I'm excited for someone to come out with something we've never seen before, but I'm kind of excited we're hitting a stagnant point because that means they're doing a good job on something already and that it's hitting a stride probably. And they're like, okay, we don't need to make drastic changes on this because it's working.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing next will be starting to get the price down because $1,800 on a phone is that's what I
was
saying.
Okay, that's what I was hoping would be the thing because remember when the Flip finally got to $999 and we're like, oh, what's going to happen is we're going to have these folding phones and they might not get like dramatically better, but the price will slowly get down so that it's alongside all the other phones you can buy and you can just pick the one that folds instead of the one that doesn't fold. And $999 is like the very highest end of that. There's lots of really good phones for $999, but the Fold is still $1,799.
Yeah,
which way too in the much. US, you know, people get a contract and they'll pay $35 a month or whatever it is. But it's so much money compared to what you could get for $1,799. Yeah. You could get two of the best phones.
I think the reason that I see flips a lot is imagine you walk into a carrier store and there are multiple flagships that are all $999, and you're a regular person. And one of them folds in half.
Yeah, it's
that's like cool
it's
for comparable. Everybody, right?
It's kind of
like,
cool.
It's cool for everyone, and it's still got flagship specs.
Do you think it feels risky if you go into a flagship store and you're like, "Oh, there's a $999 iPhone. Oh, there's a $999 Pixel. There's a $999, you know, S22, and then there's a folding one."
Maybe it did for the first two generations, but I feel like I've seen a lot of Flip 3s, and maybe it's just because enough time has gone by where people have gotten used to seeing them in the carrier store.
I think there's also a lot of people who just. Who don't use iPhone and Samsung's generally that default. So they're like, I want a Samsung. I'm choosing between two Samsungs.
This one,
this one folds.
Yeah.
Fair.
Like a Galaxy S21 really Plus or a folding Galaxy S21 Plus.
I'll take the folding
I'll take the folding one. It's cool.
Yeah.
And your friends are always like, wow, that's interesting.
You know? True. Talking point.
Talking
don't underestimate the value of
it's
a
like
talking
the Rivian
point.
Yesterday.
Dude, we'll talk about that eventually, but I'll say it now. I said it in the video, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I have never... We're using this Rivian truck, right? I've never in any of the cars we've tested had more people like wave me down, ask me about the thing in the McLarens, in the supercars, in the other trucks, in the electric stuff we've tested. None have come close to the Rivian. The Rivian is the most attention-grabbing vehicle I've ever driven by a lot.
Yeah.
I'd ask about the Rimac, but we weren't allowed out of the parking lot with it.
But even the Rimac kind of just looks like an R8 from if you squint.
Well,
like,
it's just really, it's like a RC car.
Four times the height of it.
Yeah, it's like a little sports car. I guess if you pulled up in a grocery store parking lot, people would be like, what is that noise?
What are you
making?
Putting in there? Like,
what is happening?
Fit in the car.
But it is definitely, the Rimac's going crazy. But we'll talk about that another day.
Yeah.
I want to also just mention the recyclable materials.
Yes.
Because that is, it's a good note. And it's sort of a question mark in the way it's being presented versus the actual facts, because I haven't dug into it, but basically the way Samsung presents it is they are taking fishing nets out of the ocean and using that plastic in the plastics in the phone. Cool. Great. Keep doing that, please. And inspire others to do that, because I hate fishing nets.
Do you know, we were talking about this, I think the best green thing that Samsung does is have like one of the best trade-in programs ever.
That's
like,
also really good.
I really appreciate that they do have really, really good trade-in deals. We were talking about, it feels like you can almost get a new phone for like free at this point.
I think Samsung's like, please trade it in so your battery doesn't start swelling. And we realize that.
Okay, maybe. Yeah, but let's
get the old Samsungs out the streets.
All right.
Every Samsung.
I retract everything I just said.
No, it's good. It's a good thing. I don't want grenades in our closets.
All right, let's go to trivia before we get sued. Yeah.
It's real. We have the smartphone closet. Actually, who else just tweeted recently they had Samsung's phones? Arun, right?
I thought Saf may have.
Saf or Arun or both, probably. just if you keep a Samsung phone long enough, the odds are much higher with a Samsung phone that you'll find it swollen.
Especially during the summer. I remember I had a studio with Michael Fisher and David Kogan like a couple years ago. We had all the studio together. And
there's a lot of old phones in there?
There was a lot of Samsung phones in there. And I went in during a summer day one time and Michael had this like rack of phones and it was a like a Note 5 and a Note 8 and a S20 or something, and it was only the Samsung phones that literally the batteries were popping out. Well,
it's crazy. I don't know.
How it was bad.
Only Samsung phones.
Yeah.
Well.
Anyway,
recycle your phones, folks. Yeah. That's how you get ahead of that.
Yeah.
We're gonna talk about the watch and the watch pro after the break, but before we get there, let's get to trivia.
Trivia.
Right. Oh, I forgot to record.
Oh, wow.
All right. It's time for trivia. Adam is gone this week. It's just me, which means hard questions. Oh, only.
Nobody to rein Ellis in on these.
Yeah, exactly. No one to check me. All right. First question. Who owns ARM? And it's not a person.
Okay, I was going to say. So it's a company. Who owns ARM? Okay.
Wait. Oh, yeah, I know this one.
What company owns ARM?
Huh.
All right.
Ha. Ha.
Cool.
And we're also doing our point system when we come back is David has points, but he hasn't been on as many episodes of Trivia, so we're doing points per game.
Oh. We're still working out a lot of things.
PBG. Yeah. Theoretically.
I have how many points David has written in front of me.
I think it's tied with me.
I don't have how many games we've played written in front of me.
Well, it's only one, I think. Or no, two. Is it two?
It's like two and a half.
Since we reset.
Andrew was gone 1 week.
We'll figure this all out.
I don't know.
Through the magic of video editing, we'll figure this all out later.
Which I'm editing, so I guess. Yeah. I guess I'll figure it out later.
Good luck with the scores. We'll be back after the break. Support for Waveform comes from Coda. So are you having trouble getting your remote team organized and on the same page? Or for that matter, is your own desktop looking a little chaotic with a lot of tools and tabs? If any of that sounds familiar, then you may be interested in Coda. So Coda is an all-in-one collaborative workspace designed to bring teams and tools together for a more organized workday. So Coda blends the flexibility of docs, the structure of spreadsheets, and the power of applications, and the intelligence of AI to make work, well, less work. So with Coda's extensive planning capabilities, you can stay aligned by managing your planning cycles in one location while setting and measuring objectives for key results with full visibility across teams. Plus, you can access hundreds of templates and get inspired by others in Coda's gallery. So if you want a platform that empowers your team to collaborate effectively and focus on shared goals, you can get started with Coda today for free. So you can head over to coda.io/wave. That's coda.io/wave to get started for free. So coda.io/wave.
Hi, we're Visible. We're the wireless company with nothing to hide. Seriously. Hidden fees? We don't have them. Annual contracts? Not our thing. Great wireless on just one line? Now that's more like it. Get unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month. Taxes and fees included. That's right, $25 a month, every month. Sorry, hidden fees. We're just not that into you. Sometimes the choice is just Visible. Switch today at Visible.com. Rate with service on the Visible plan. For additional terms and network management practices, see Visible.com.
Okay, welcome back. So Samsung Unpacked is more than just the phones, of course. I actually low-key think that the things that weren't the phones were the most interesting announcements. So we got the two phones out the way. What we also had was the Samsung headphones, which were, I'll just say they were the new Samsung Buds Pro, active noise cancellation, slightly new design, much better quality focus. I haven't gotten a chance to handle them or listen to them, so we just have to fully wait until we get to use them. But we also got two new watches, Watch 5 and Watch 5 Pro. Galaxy Watch 5, Galaxy Watch 5 Pro. This is interesting to me for a lot of reasons. You've been using one of the Galaxy Watches,
so,
right?
Funny story. I have the Watch 4 right here, the regular Watch 4, not the Watch 4 Classic. Mm-hmm. I've been using it for like 4 or 5 months, and we were like, I wrote a script for a bitrate for the studio channel, and we were shooting, like, Hayato and I were setting it up, and David like messaged me on Slack, like, hey, we're in the briefing right now. They're announcing the Watch 5. And I was like, Yeah. I guess we won't do this. Yeah.
It is the life of a reviewer.
So it will, we will be looking at that. I'm very excited though, because I've been using this watch a lot and I really, really like it. I have two main gripes with it. One is a terrible bug with it right now, where if it loses connection with your phone, you have to reset the entire watch and lose all of your data.
Oh my God.
To reset it back in, unless you did a backup. If it loses I have it right now. I can show you on my phone if I go to...
If it loses connection as if you like leave the house without your watch?
If it like somehow the Bluetooth connection has to be like reconnected, essentially. Like I don't I can go away from it and come back, but if it ever like blips in that, and this is something, there's a Reddit thread I found that's 9 months old and people still to this week are commenting like, had this problem. How do I fix it?
That sounds like a
big problem.
More like a lack of a feature than a bug.
Yeah, so if I go into my Galaxy wearable right now,
looking for devices,
it doesn't show it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's in airplane mode. It still should show.
Is your Bluetooth on?
Yeah, it is.
You better go catch it.
Oh, this might not be on. Anyways, I'll try and reconnect it, and it'll just say, we found it. In order to add a new device, you need to reset the device from your watch. And then on your watch, it'll say, do you want to reset this?
That's really
bad. It's awful.
Yeah.
But other than that, my biggest gripe is battery life. The battery life on this is terrible. I would say I'm okay with it because I don't use sleep tracking, so I can charge it every night. But it will not last 2 days. And I've seen that lot of other people with that same issue.
That's what I was going to say. So how bad is terrible? Because I've been an Apple Watch person for the better part of like 4 or 5 years.
You'd call that a 2 day battery life, right?
I would call it a 1.5 day battery life.
Yeah.
Very specifically. Because I cannot get to the end of 2 days, but I can always get past 1 day.
Yes. This can get past 1 day. If you use sleep tracking, I would say by the time you wake up, you're under 40%. Okay. And like... I would not expect it to last more than that. Like this would never last a weekend as far as I use it.
So you'll be happy to know. One of the new features of the Watch 5 is it has a larger battery, 15% larger battery, I believe. And the other gripe, the other way to get around bad battery life is faster charging.
Mm-hmm.
And this does have fast charging. Specifically, what do we have? 13% larger battery on the Watch 5. And the Watch 5 Pro we'll get to in a second, but...
Yes.
I think that should at least help with the battery life.
It should.
We'll see. We'll get it in hand.
I think
we'll
if you're it. Someone who does a lot of things during the day and also wants to sleep track, you're going to have to find that perfect time. Maybe the fast charging will help. So you could do it maybe while you're showering or something
it
like
really
that.
It really becomes a habit of like, you know, when you end the day, you look at your percentage and you're like, this won't make it through the night or this will. With the Apple Watch, it's like 25%. I know if I go to bed anywhere around 30 that I just need to find time to charge before I put it back on.
I hate that.
Just
it drives me insane.
part of the downside. The design is very similar, but it does have sapphire glass now on the outside.
That's
which
good.
Is much better.
I love this design. I think this design looks good. And the sapphire glass, which is stronger. I tested 3 watches. This is the only watch where the screen didn't crack or chip when I was rock climbing. My Apple Watch has a big chunk taken out of it. Yours does as well.
The screen?
It's not a chunk. It's more of like
yours is like a
crack.
Tim's has like a chunk.
Like multiple scars. Actually, I do have a little chunk.
Yeah. But that's the metal or the screen?
The screen.
His screen has like a bunch of scratches
on the top and bottom. But rock climbing holds are so coarse that they will just destroy.
But if you look at mine, the outside edge of it got really scratched. But the glass didn't get touched at all.
Maybe because it's flat.
Well, it's going to get even stronger. So
I have a Garmin Venue 2, which I love, and it got really messed up climbing.
Those
it
are the
has
ones I
like
expect
a real,
to be super strong.
Yeah, I agree with you. One thing about these though is I debated using the Watch Classic because of the dial has a little more of a lip, but I didn't really love the spinny part in that. This Galaxy Watch 5 Pro has that new lip and doesn't have the thickness of...
Let's talk about the Watch 5 Pro.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Pro.
I'm really excited for that
one. So the 5 is great, but the Pro... Well, first of all, I guess we could speak about this at any point, but there are lots of rumors that we might see an Apple Watch Pro.
Yeah.
And I think Samsung has a tendency to go, they're going to do what? Okay, trust me. We're on that. Yeah. We'll beat them to that. Trust me.
We got it.
So we got the Watch 5 Pro. The Watch 5 Pro is a larger, thicker, stronger... more activity focused version of the Watch 5. So it's, I think, like GPS related stuff, much longer battery life. It's a 60% larger battery life.
Yes.
And it also has a thicker, I believe it's thicker. They say stronger sapphire glass on the outside. I don't know how you have different strength levels other than just making it thicker.
It's probably thicker.
So yeah. It's stronger, probably thicker sapphire glass on the outside. And it's also inlet or inset underneath a bezel. So you have a little bit of protection there for the glass.
Yeah.
It seems if you can deal with the larger size, it's a 45 millimeter size only.
Yeah. Yes.
To be like the best version of what Samsung can make as far as a smartwatch that has a long battery life and actually deals with like heavy, long GPS loads. Maybe you're going to go, I heard there was actually a golf version of this watch, but if there you're going to go like play golf with just your watch, there are GPS apps that will tell you for the entire 4 hour round of golf, exactly how far you are from all of your targets and the bunkers and the hazards and everything. Biking, hiking, just going for a run, all that sort of stuff. This seems like the way to go for that stuff. So Watch 5 Pro is real.
Did we get it confirmed that the golf version is real?
It's in the notes that they sent us.
It is?
The golf version, yeah. Okay. It's all it is
they never told me.
They didn't bring it up
it.
At the briefing. Yeah. And then it's, someone told me about it and I was like, what are you talking about?
I think that we don't have to put this part in, but I think it's $329. I think it's more like the regular one.
Wait, the 5 Pro golf version is $329?
It's just the 5 golf version. I don't think it's the 5 Pro.
Oh,
I think
okay.
It's the regular 5. All it is custom watch faces, a free lifetime subscription to Caddy, Smart Caddy
like
app
Caddy
or something.
App.
And it has a different watch band, a two-tone watch band.
Okay.
So that's not...
It's more like a... What's the
it's just like
Ford
a brand partnership.
It's
yeah.
A brand. Oh.
Is it PGA branded?
No, I think it's...
Just a
they're
Caddy.
Probably just LIV partnered branded. With them for that app.
LIV?
No.
LIV?
It's
the, oh, my God.
No, you can't even use GPS.
For the golf fans here.
Yeah.
Well,
that was a good reference. But
I'm
no.
Like,
no, it's just probably just the Caddy app. That's
it's
it.
Yeah, it's basically the Caddy app for
yeah.
an extra $30, it seems like. And limited watch faces with it.
And a different band.
And a different band.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
it's more of a limited edition thing.
Are you interested in that?
No, because I could just turn the Watch 5 into the golf edition.
Just buy the app with the Watch 5 Pro and then get way better battery life.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for the Watch 5 Pro because I love hiking and stuff like that. I like outdoor stuff. And when I was using my Garmin, like it's incredible for really long hikes and stuff. It's got great GPS. All the different apps for it are fantastic. But wearing it every day, it just felt clunky. And the Watch 4 is so much nicer. So to have... In my mind, and we'll see how they execute it, but to have a Watch 4 that feels more like Garmin activity ruggedness with it, that's really, really exciting for me.
I think we talked about this in the foldable space earlier about things like finally coming to the point where they feel like very cohesive products. But I feel like we're in a little bit of a wearables renaissance or golden age right now when it comes to both smart watches and then also earbuds, because the earbuds have ANC. Now it seems like you can get a ton of different earbuds with ANC, and it just depends on what company you want. There's the Pixel Buds Pro, they have ANC now.
Yeah.
Just like pick your company. And then the other thing was when Apple announced all of the additions to the Apple Watch tracking, whether it was like tracking the little micro movements of your run and your stride height and all these things. And now there's possibly going to be a Pro watch, and then there's going to be a Pro version of this. Like,
Yeah,
it seems like this wearable tech is getting really good now.
I agree. It's kind of amazing looking back what all of them do. Like you mentioned, the watch tracks all these things. It has a slightly different shape with the bottom of the watch. It's a little bit flatter so that it has more contact area on your wrist so that your blood oxygen levels and your all the things it's tracking can be even more accurate. It's like, that's amazing.
Yeah,
half the stuff I didn't ever think I'd need to know about myself, but here we are. And also true, like back in the day, I remember in like 2013, 2015, the Jaybird earbuds that I love so much, like to picture something that small having active noise cancellation, I was like, never.
No way.
Of course not.
Yeah.
But now, yeah, Pixel Buds Pro come out. It's like the exact same size, no wire, long battery life, pop them in your ears, active noise cancellation, and transparency mode. It's not that good, but it's still got it.
Yeah.
So that's pretty impressive. I have a question though.
Yes.
About the Watch 5 Pro. Do you think now, let's say it has a 1.5 times longer battery life. Is that enough for you to say it's not terrible?
Here's, listen. So the Venue 2, it's like an 8-day battery life and I tried that and it works. And I'm still kind of confused how that can have 8 days and this can have a day and a half.
Describe the functionality of that watch.
I mean, it still has notifications. It still has like my calendar comes into it. My text messages come into it. It tracks steps. It tracks heart rate, all that stuff. Like it's constantly tracking, but generally when I'm using it, it's on a long trip somewhere where it's also like I was hiking 8 hours a day, and like I wasn't plugging it at all. It was crazy.
Eight-day battery.
Clearly the screen is not as good, but still, like we're talking about Watch 4 is like 450 by 450. It's not anything wild, and it is getting a fifth or a sixth of the battery life.
That's so the screen and processor are always going to be the biggest draws of power. And I haven't used this 8 day watch battery life, but when I picture a 1.5 day battery life watch having a 60 FPS OLED display that gets bright outdoors and is like very responsive and feels like a tiny smartphone on your wrist, I picture an 8 day smartphone battery life being like on the Kindle end of the spectrum, where you don't really spend any time interacting with it. It just shows you stuff and that's good enough. Is that accurate?
I don't think I use my watches, both of them, that much differently though. I don't know.
Then that's better for you.
Then it's better for me. But the thing is I still use the watch for the same way and don't use it as much, and mostly use it to just check the time and some notifications. Mm-hmm. And it's still only getting a day half. Like
it's like not as efficient.
I'm sure there's some things. I think what you're talking about, you mentioned it the other day when we were talking about it, is probably Android Wear OS versus whatever the Garmin stuff is. That's probably doing far, far less, but that's still a huge gap that baffles me a little bit.
Well, when you're based on Android though, it's like it's so complex.
Yeah.
Like here's an analogy, right? The entire reason that ARM devices have such like insane battery life comparatively is that you had x86 for this long period of time that had to do all of these functions. Mm-hmm. And the more that PCs could do over time, the more that architecture had to be able to be built out to handle. But that also made it have more processes going on at the same time, and it just made it such a battery hog. So ARM, which is Advanced RISC Machines, it's a reduced architecture. And RISC is reduced...
RISC is another acronym?
Yeah.
Inside of R?
Yes.
It's an acronym inside of an acronym?
So ARM is an acronym, and the R is RISC, and RISC is another acronym.
Yes.
RISC is Reduced Instruction Set Chip.
Right.
And CHIP is an acronym for what?
and that's a backronym.
Just keep going.
Yeah. So reduce the instruction set, right? So you reduce the instruction set to like only the core things that you have to do, and then they built out from there. So that's why ARM devices have so much better battery life. So it's kind of the same thing. If you build something on Android that's supposed to be on your watch, it's gonna be like an Android phone, and all Android phones run ARM processors already. These are ARM processors just in watches. It's like you already have is the most efficiency that you can kind of have. But when you build an OS that is only made to be like a very simple smartwatch and you only target it to these specific things, then you can make the battery life way better.
I was it's reduced instruction set computer.
Right. And what does computer stand for? Anyway, yeah.
Oh, it's RISC?
Yeah, RISC.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Got computer. It.
Which would still be the case with chip, but I got the C wrong. Right.
Yeah. Anyway, to
go back to the question, for me to not consider it to be a bad battery life and like good, not great, 8 days is great.
Yeah.
That is what I would go for every, once you use that for a month,
you don't want to use
everything else feels terrible.
Right.
But if I could leave work on Friday and go out for the weekend, say like I'm going on a trip and it's still alive on Sunday when I get back to charge it to go to bed. That would be
two full days.
Two good full days, maybe even two and a half. I would call it two and a half, to where some days it might go a little under, but
okay.
I would be very happy with
like leaving for a weekend and being able to make maybe track a hike.
Forget your charger and not have to worry about it the whole weekend.
Yeah, that would be really nice.
That's ideal.
I'm going to guess that would be the absolute limit of this Watch 5 Pro. Yeah.
60% is big.
590 milliamp hours? Is that what it is?
Right. Yep.
590? That's pretty big.
It's big, but I'm just saying like okay, it's 60% bigger.
Yeah.
So okay, 60% more battery versus the 1.5 we already get out of the Watch 4. Then you're looking at 1.9 days, maybe.
Maybe.
So,
which is close to what you
it's
want.
Close.
Yeah.
Quick math.
Yeah.
I always
agree though, like all of these watches are adding sleep tracking and everyone keeps talking about how amazing sleep tracking is. But if I have to charge my watch every night, then I can't use the sleep tracking. And a lot of people say, oh, charge it while you're showering.
I just Googled it real quick. 1.6 times 1.5. Because he had one and a half days, 60% more, so 1.6 times. Yeah. It's actually 2.4. So let's say 2.4 days.
How does that sound? Promising.
That sounds pretty good. Okay. All right. Promising.
2.4.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like one of my biggest gripes about it. The other one is that challenges app. Let Android people count more than just steps. Count calories for Android watches or Google Fit or some connection in there. Yeah. And the challenges app would be the best app ever. We would recommend it all the time to everybody. You will get free shout outs from us if you count calories for Android.
They're already getting a shout out right now.
Waveform shout outs aren't cheap.
They're not.
Yeah. So there you go.
Wait. Can I say one more thing about the Galaxy Watch though? Since does this look familiar to you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
I have an argument here though. No, this is Samsung's rings. Oh. But it's in a heart instead. So it's pretty much like Apple rings. I think this is better than Apple rings.
Oh, why is it
better? Why? Because the third ring is not stand hours, which is the dumbest metric in the world. It just adds steps to it. It just shows you your steps along with it and gives it as a third.
So it's activity ring as the first ring.
Calories.
Time,
exercise
time, and then steps.
Oh, nice.
Because I like that. Standing for 1 minute every hour is the dumbest metric ever. And
I agree.
No one cares.
But I think the reason they chose it is because if you are sedentary and you sit for long extended periods of time, that's bad for you.
I want to ask David a question here. I just saw your app say you wanted to stand up. Did you want to stand up and walk around, or did you want to stand up and get the notification away and sit your ass back
down? That's the point, though. It's gamifying it.
But it's not accomplishing anything.
Sometimes I'm working in a cafe.
I think it does. I think just not being seated. What is the whole argument for like standing desks? It's like you spend so much time sitting. And if you sit all day, isn't sitting down is bad for you?
Yeah,
or something?
Yeah. I think that if you don't stand up and move around a little bit, then you need to get the blood like flowing around all
Yeah, standing. Stand up once in a while.
Yeah.
Standing for 1 minute doesn't accomplish that.
But it's better than standing for 0 minutes.
Sure.
So
I am not advocating for either. Just I just want
Mr.
you guys
Politics
to be aware. I'm not gonna get involved, but I do think that it's sort of like when you're like, oh, I'm going to do 5 push-ups. That's it. And then you end up doing 50. Well, I could obviously do that.
I don't know where we're going anymore.
The point is that it's getting you moving, and then you will probably do more than 1 minute if you do the 1 minute.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah, maybe. Whereas I just wave my arm around.
What if it did you had to do 100 steps every hour?
That'd be kind of hard.
That would be really hard. So the thing is, when you get to like 50 minutes on the hour, the watch tells you you got to stand up.
Well, it would give you a better time.
That would be nice. I don't know how many steps 100 steps
yeah,
is.
I don't
is
either.
It like walking around the room 100? Once?
I bet from your desk to the bathroom back to your desk would be about 100 steps.
100? Actually, maybe it is 100.
That's a long way.
Like, I'm there and back.
Going up the steps in my house, it's like 12 steps or whatever. Now I'm like, oh yeah, so maybe it's 10 times that amount of distance. Maybe that's 100 steps.
I would say going from your desk to the bathroom and back would be 100 steps.
I'm going to try it after this podcast. But we do need to take a break. So let's do
trivia.
Yeah, let's do trivia real quick and then come back.
Pricing for everything really quick since we didn't say any of that.
It starts at $279 for the Bluetooth only Watch 5 and $329 for the LTE Watch 5. And the Watch 5 Pro only comes in 45 millimeters, so it's a little bigger. But that starts at, remind me, $350?
$449.
$450.
Pretty expensive.
$450 for Bluetooth. Okay.
And so $499
for LTE. $499
for LTE
Watch 5 Pro. There you go.
Damn.
Ellis, hit us with the trivia.
All right, back for Ellis's reign of trivia terror. How many bytes are in a kibby byte? Also pronounced kibabyte.
Oh man. Send it to break.
Yeah.
Beloved brands know customer relationships are everything. That's why over 130,000 trust Klaviyo to power smarter digital relationships across their websites, emails, SMS, and reviews. And now, there's Klaviyo AI, your guide to smarter insights, decisions, work, and results. Brands like Everyman Jack trust Klaviyo AI to personalize product recommendations that keep customers coming back. Discover Klaviyo AI at klaviyo.com/Vox. That's klaviyo.com/Vox.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
All right, we're back. I have a little game I want to play at the end of this episode before we figure out our trivia answers and how wrong we were because Ellis's questions are way too hard. Okay, so we're, like we mentioned, we're getting into like the start of smartphone season, kind of the start of our busy season.
Yeah.
So we've seen quite a few phones get released already, and we're about to see the rest of them to the point where we've probably seen a rumor about everyone, right? Like we've seen a Pixel rumors. We've seen Pixel 7 pretty much.
So
like we're seeing iPhone rumors. So I thought it'd be fun. I went, you and I did a, we guessed the smartphone awards, the first episode of this year. I brought those guesses up. I think we're, let's just look at them really quick to remind ourselves. And then let's see if we change your mind at all. And you can make some predictions with us now from what we've seen and what we're about to see, and maybe see if we get any right. We'll check them again in December.
See how right we think we are.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Real quick, and if you guys want to hop in and make any comments about any of these guesses here, I'll just go through them real quick though.
Okay.
So for best big phone, Marquez guessed the S22 Ultra. I guessed the ROG Phone 6. For small phone, we both picked the Z Flip. For camera, we both picked the iPhone. Budget value, we both picked the Zenfone 9.
Wow.
Best battery.
Wow. Sorry. No. Sorry. Continue.
Zenfone, okay. Best battery, iPhone Pro Max for you. I said the Legion Duo 3 just because I made a bad joke that it would have three charging cables.
Oh.
which I heard that back and I was like, that used to be funny. That was pretty cool. design, I had the Find X 4. You had the Pixel 7.
Oh.
Most improved,
oh,
we both.
Four, it ended up being a five.
They don't do four.
I would say that's our fault. For
that's
not guessing.
On you.
That's on me. That's
picked
on me.
A non-existent phone.
All right.
Most improved, we both picked the Pixel 7 Pro.
Oh.
Okay. This bust of the year. You picked the S21 FE, and I forgot.
No. S21 FE.
22?
Oh. No, it's right.
Oh,
that's
no. You,
that's exactly what I did.
You're going to win.
You might win that.
You're probably going to win.
Because it was out by the time that we recorded that episode, actually, because it came out right in the beginning.
Much of a downfall would that be from of the year
from MVP to bust of the year?
There is no like least improved award, but that was
I picked the Razer 3, which doesn't look like it's coming out this year, but and then MVP, you picked S7 Pro.
Pixel 7 Pro.
Sorry, and I picked the S22. Plus,
wow,
just seems like boring. A terrible guess. But that's a very boring guess.
A lot of thoughts about this.
Yeah.
You want to start from the top then?
Yeah. Do you want to go like over? You want to pick what we are thinking or coming
I
up?
Pick apart your thoughts. Is that what
you can pick apart thoughts? You can pick what you think is going to come up now that what we see. But
dissect it.
Best big phone. I mean,
so I had S22 Ultra. Andrew had ROG Phone 6. I think we now have both of those phones are out. Between those, I mean, they're pretty close. The cameras, you give the edge to Samsung.
Yeah.
The performance, you give the edge to the 165Hz ROG phone.
I listened and I specifically picked the ROG 6 thinking like cameras are the last thing they really need to prove, and they would. And
it's
they
okay.
improved, but they didn't do it like I was expecting.
It's
was
a step
hoping.
Down in camera, but it's also the Snapdragon 8 Plus Gen 1. They always wait to have the higher end chip in this. So the S22 Ultra still has the 8 Gen 1, right?
I forgot.
So that, I think, also leans ROG.
I feel like there's going to be more big phones coming out this year, too.
Oh, definitely. We're still going to get the big iPhone, the big Fold.
The big regular iPhone could really be a good big phone because it's going to be a cheaper version, but big and has a lot of benefits from it. So that's something we were not thinking would happen.
Yeah.
I think that'll be really interesting.
For small, you guys both picked the Z Flip, but I think it's going to be the Zenfone 9.
The beginning of this episode, you said there's something we'll all agree on?
I think I'll say now that I think Zenfone 9 is the best small phone, and it's not particularly close right now. We could get a great... No, because we're not getting a mini iPhone, and we have the Z Flip, and we see what it is already.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a clear best small phone of the year.
So, yeah. For sure.
Zenfone 9.
Camera is probably going to swap to the Xiaomi 12 Ultra.
12S Ultra?
12S Ultra.
Interesting. Right? You know, well, we'll see what the iPhone comes out with. The thing about the camera award, and people always like to dissect my camera award, is it is a versatility award too, because you take photos and videos.
Mm.
And when I looked at photos from the 12S, the ceiling of the best photos it could take was clearly higher than any other smartphone I've ever used. But as far as consistency, it would also constantly churn out photos that were worse than the iPhone.
Mm.
So if you're ping-ponging back and forth between best and worst, it's kind of a preference thing. Like, do you pick the consistent A, or do you pick the one that's an A+ sometimes and clearly has a better, higher ceiling, but sometimes it's a B+.
Mm.
And then on video time, like, iPhone is so consistent. It's so consistently an A to an A+ as far as smartphone cameras. Really good. You know, ProRes already, like 4K. I wish it shot 8K, but even without shooting 8K, it's great videos. And so the Xiaomi also shoots really good videos, but it's not as consistent. So I'm just like, it's hard to not pick the iPhone as the favorite for an incoming video or camera winner, just based on what I've seen from Apple. They could screw it up, but what are the odds?
That Mi 12S Ultra, though.
Those, what about the Pixel 7?
Some of those
7?
Photos were pretty fire.
They
Pixel
were.
7 could be, if they freaking fix the processing,
I will
beat the drum on this until the day I freaking die, because they got a big old sensor and they're still processing it like it's a tiny one.
They did their magic for like 5 years in a row with that small sensor.
Yeah.
And now that we give them much more capable hardware, they're sort of just leaning back on what they've been doing with the
Pixel
smaller
Pixel 6
hardware.
Pro photos look almost exactly the same as Pixel 6a photos. And I feel like that's just a big problem. They've dipped the field.
Almost reminds me of how we always talk about how Toyota started making like EVs and batteries, and now they're so far behind in the EV game. It feels like that's what Pixel's
similar.
Doing.
Pixel
like they
camera.
Were so good for so long, and they're just like, are sticking with what they're doing, and now we're behind.
Prius, the Prius, like, the smartphone cameras.
Don't you guys love this Sony sensor that we've used for 5 years?
Yes, in your budget phone.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
We have best value and budget also as Zenfone 9. This phone came out at $699. Can it be a budget value phone at that price?
The comment section says no.
Comment section, if I gave it that award, I could immediately see the entire comment section blowing up and saying $699 cannot be a good best budget award.
I think
it's a value award.
I think we tried to make that award both ends of that. It's like budget or bang for your buck.
Bang for your buck.
Like,
pound for pound.
It does have the best processor out there for... And it has a really nice 120 hertz display.
Very
pretty
fast.
Cool cameras, the gimbal camera.
Excellent
it's
battery.
Small, really good battery. I mean, value-wise, I could see it inching into there, but I definitely know that people will disagree with if
that phone was $599, I'd hand it to them right now.
Yeah.
But $699.
It's $100 more than it was last year.
Right.
So there is that.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're going to get some other phones that are like very extra budget. You know, we have the 6A, we have the SE, we have phones that are hanging around $300-$500 that are always going to be options there. So I don't know if it's a clear winner yet. I don't think we can say we have a winner for best budget, but I do love the Zenfone 9 at the price anyway. It is what it is. It's kind of funny that we saw into the future for the Zenfone.
Yeah.
This is a January prediction. That's kind of sick.
This is the first week in January.
I'm kind of happy with that prediction.
They've been pretty solid devices.
I think that's what we figured.
Though.
It's like
every year they surprise us. We're like, oh wow, Asus is good. Oh wait, we said the same thing last year.
Every year, I think they go to at least quarters, possibly semis.
Yes. iPhone has never won in the first round. Zenfone has never lost in the first round.
No, I think iPhone won first round.
Finally in the last
one.
But the Zenfone always goes deep.
It's always gone really well.
Okay, so we did have most improved. We both picked Pixel 7 Pro, I think is interesting. We have yet to technically hold and use that phone, but we kind of see what's coming, which is similar to
well, the reason though it's most improved is because how bad the experience was on the 6 Pro. So like that's what they need to work on. It's hard to tell that from the design things we're seeing.
I mean,
now.
The fit and finish would be nice too. Because it would be, did sort of feel like they just glued parts together with the 6 Pro.
Do you know what I really liked about the 6A is that the lip was not as protruded.
It's because of the smaller sensor.
I liked that. I wish somehow they could get that into it.
Yeah, they can't physically do it. They can't physically do it.
Here's another way of phrasing that. Is there something else you would pick as most improved right now over the Pixel 7 or 7 Pro?
Like, I'm like Zenfone, but then the 8 was actually pretty good too.
The 8 was good, but like the 9 was, that's really the first thing I thought of as well. Yeah, the Zenfone is like, it really killed it this year.
Obviously the Legion Duo 2.
Only two charging cables.
In terms of if you want to take one step, we didn't talk about design. Zenfone could possibly be in design, and I think the biggest thing taking away from it is how messed up the paint gets on the back.
I can't give it. Yeah, it gets pretty beat up.
I think that's a big issue. You had that for like 4 days, and it looked like you had it for 4 years,
dude. 2 weeks into using the phone, it looked like I had it for literally like a lifetime.
Yeah,
it's very easily. Yeah. Scuffed.
A friend of mine had the black one and all the logos and like Asus lettering were gone after 4 days. They literally wiped
that's
off
4 days.
His finger oil.
Dude, it's going to look crazy in a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which maybe that's cool.
I like the design.
It's a patina. Yeah.
I would like to keep an eye on in a year, like what people using the Zenfone every day, what those phones look like.
Yeah.
Because maybe they'll put a case on it. Like I use my phone out of a case. Yes, I'm a psycho. I get it. But hey, some people are going to do that. What's that phone going to look like in a year?
Yeah.
I want to know.
Maybe you can just scrub it off with a toothbrush.
That's actually, I didn't try cleaning it. I mean, I got the microfiber. I tried like getting the scuff off of it or whatever, but maybe there's some crazy hack out there.
Do you remember that? Well, there's a Pixel that everyone said got messed up on the back.
Yeah,
and everyone's
like,
oh no, you can just scrub it off with a toothbrush and it's fine.
And it worked.
It worked, but it was also like the dumbest thing to tell somebody.
It was kind of insane. Like, you have an extra toothbrush, right?
It's always sacrificed for your phone.
Your Pixel toothbrush.
I mean, I would.
Man. Well, design, I think we're both going to find our answers are incorrect there. Find X4 doesn't exist because they skip straight to the X5. Sorry,
but
Andrew.
The X5 is a really pretty phone.
The X5 is a nice phone. We've got one.
I think I like the X3 better, though.
Really?
I do, too,
the
actually.
Look of it, I think I like the X3 better. Right.
But I picked Pixel 7, and I almost guarantee that doesn't win the design award. So it
what
is what it is.
What about Oppo Find N?
I like that.
Design a lot.
I think there's a lot of design award candidates, as there usually are.
Yeah.
It's sort of that's one of the more subjective awards.
Yeah, definitely.
I like the Zenfone design, but I can't give it a design award.
Yeah.
So it is what it is.
Yeah.
Bust of the year. Yeah, you picked the Razer 3. That's a kind of a funny one because it's not coming to the US and it could be a super bust. Also, the OnePlus, what is it?
10T.
Kind of flopped.
When I wrote this out, I was like, I'm pretty sure everyone's going to say 10T.
10T is a pretty popular bust pick, I'm pretty sure. That would get a lot of votes if we put it to fan vote.
Yeah.
A lot of disappointment in that phone. S21 FE being my pick for bust of the year.
That's a good pick.
It's a pretty good
pick. It's a really good pick.
It's a pretty good pick.
Big brain pick right there.
Yeah.
And then MVP. My MVP. Wow, I was really high on Pixels. Okay, Pixel 7 Pro was my MVP pick, and S22 Plus was your MVP pick. Do you remember your logic behind S22 Plus as MVP? Sort of an all-around champ at a good price.
I want to say it was similar to that and being worried about what was going to happen to the Ultra with the impending Note disappearing and like not being exactly sure what was going to happen with it. And if they tried to do like too much similar to like, remember when S20 Ultra first came out and that was terrible because they tried to do a million things with it. Then they refined it. Then I was worried I was going to go back on the route of doing a million things with it by adding S Pen and everything. And it didn't really. Yeah. It's definitely not that great. Like, it's not anything incredible. You could argue the S22 Plus has a better design than the S22 Ultra. And therefore, it's the better of those.
I think I'll say two things. One, I think it's probably going to go to an 8 Plus Gen 1 phone because of how good that chip is. But the other thing I'm going to say is, and this is never going to happen, but if it did, it would be great. If Apple put 120 hertz ProMotion display in the big cheap iPhone, that could be an MVP.
That could be
the 14 Max or whatever it ends up being.
And what pricing is on that?
Yeah,
will be very exactly. interesting. Yeah,
but they're probably not doing that, which sucks.
Yeah, it's if it's not a pro phone, that they're not going to put ProMotion. Yeah. I think they're keeping all the pro names to the pro devices.
What if they just do nice
that
motion?
That means that Apple's
90
nice motion, pretty good motion. I feel like Apple's going to keep 60 hertz on the cheaper iPhones
probably.
Until
brutal.
The
it's
day.
Brutal because cheaper is still $700 for a 60 hertz phone.
Yeah,
that's insane.
The budget iPhone.
The budget.
Best
just
budget.
Get the SE at that point. Actually, just get the SE. Yeah, just get the SE at that point.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, I have to say, I went to a Pink Floyd tribute band concert the other night, and the amount of iPhone 8s and iPhone SEs I saw was unreal because everyone was over 65.
That's so funny.
And it was wild.
I feel like a couple years ago, it was the 6 that was everywhere. Which yeah. makes sense. It's yeah. sort of a graduation of a flow of phones when people upgrade. And the 6 and 6S are the best-selling iPhones ever, I think. So those people finally upgraded. We got the iPhone 10, big upgrade cycle with the OLED iPhones. There's a lot of 8s out there.
Yeah. When I think it was just upgrade? A testament to people that wanted to keep the home button.
Yeah.
And because the lady that was sitting next to me was like 80 years old, and I saw her texting, and she had like her texting size on max, and everything was on max.
Oh, that's such
it's like one line max.
And my mom does this too, where like every letter she would type would be like
tick, 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 one letter at a time.
Just like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I love seeing the iPhone 8 with the massive font size.
Yeah.
That's such a great, that's such a grandma vibe. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think we'll leave it at that. We'll continue to see what phones come out this year. But like we said, it's the beginning of busy season.
Yeah.
August, that's kind of like you hit the calendar and you go, all right,
yeah,
this is it. We're going to get a bunch of stuff.
I can feel it this week because we're working on 2 long form episodes at the same time. And we haven't had as much time to work on them. We're being rushed around to all these other things.
Yeah, a lot going on.
Yeah.
So I say stay tuned. Stay tuned for all that because that's going to turn into more videos for you. So you're welcome. but that's all going to be fun to keep track of. So we'll see how well our predictions turn out in the very end. Let's end it with our
trivia.
Way Too Hard Trivia Part 3.
Way Too Hard for someone.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to get any points this week. Ellis.
All right. So the first question was, who owns ARM? And with only 2 points, I believe David gets to answer first.
I have my guess.
If I get it right, did they not get to guess?
Yeah.
Should I say if you get it right? I feel like I should just keep my
lips. No, I don't know.
I think you answer first, yeah. but you don't tell us if he's right or not.
Exactly.
And then the second most can submit a guess, and then the top can submit a
yeah.
guess. But I only have one
there,
guess.
There is the thing. David said he thinks he's right, so we could very easily
I should have been
just
like,
guess what he's saying.
But bluffing.
I have my guess locked in my head that I'm probably wrong.
We're working with a channel partner right now on the eventual yes. solution.
The white solution.
Updates.
That's a great
That's
idea.
That's actually a really good idea.
So
okay. I guess we could.
This might be the last archaic version. Sorry for the chaos. But what is your?
Give it a couple weeks.
We'll see. We're still getting the final.
Sure.
Final one's made.
Okay.
Yeah. The points don't matter.
All right. All right. SoftBank.
Anyone else?
That's not what I was
I was going to just say IBM.
I was going to say AMD. So what's the answer?
The answer is SoftBank.
There it
Got
is.
Him!
All right. Very nice. SoftBank owns ARM.
I don't even know what SoftBank is. I've never heard of it.
SoftBank's a megacorp.
They're mega,
sure.
mega,
they make
mega
the robot.
They're also a bank.
Everyone has a robot.
Yeah, but SoftBank... Yeah, I guess everyone does have a robot. Yeah, that's a good point. The SoftBank robot has a funny name,
Hyundai though. Has a robot.
Yeah.
This robot looks like every robot on the CES that floor.
Is it that is, looks like every robot
this is,
on the CES.
This is,
oh, no.
This is what hall is that at CES? It's
every
just
single
this
one.
South
everywhere.
Hall. This is South Hall.
This is South Hall, right? This
yeah.
is
it just, looks like a bigger RoboSapien. Wait, did RoboSapien make the, or did SoftBank make the RoboSapien?
Oh, it's called
Do you remember
Pepper?
The RoboSapien?
No,
oh,
I'm
Oh, no, that one's called Now, it says.
Oh.
Like Now 6.
Oh.
Now that's what I call a creepy robot 6. Oh God, we've gone so sidetracked.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Question number 2. How many bytes are in a kibibyte?
Go ahead.
Wait, yeah. I have to guess again. First?
I think technically you still have less points than Andrew. So yeah, kibibyte.
It sounds small.
It's K-I-B-I, if that helps.
Kibibyte. Oh.
Kibibite.
Kibibite.
But it's pronounced kibba.
I've heard it said both ways.
Oh. How many bites total?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
Are in one kibibite. Not how many bits.
All right.
How many bites?
Oh, God.
I know that changes everything.
I know what a gigabyte is. Mm-hmm. I know what a terabyte is. I know what a megabyte is. I know what a kilobyte is. I'm going to go under kilobyte. That's all I know. Kilobyte is 1,024 bytes, right?
I just feel like it's got to be bigger than terabyte because...
Bigger?
You're going over the top? Because if...
Interesting.
If it was small, like we use all of these common byte variables together, these like versions of bytes multiplied, and we use them often. We use byte, kilobyte, megabyte, gigabyte, terabyte.
But back in the day...
Very often...
This could either be a current term referring to like larger than a terabyte or old terminology referring to somewhere between a kilobyte and a couple hundred bytes or something.
You ready for the wrench? This term was coined in 1992.
I think it's like I think it's 128 bytes or something somewhere in there. That's my guess.
Marquez puts in 128.
Yeah.
Okay.
Andrew? I'm
going to go higher. I'm with you. It's we have all these commonly used terms and we keep having those terms because we're hitting a max where it's starting to get really confusing. Yeah. So we're adding another to it. So I'm going to guess whatever over a terabyte is. So it would be a terabyte times 1,000, right?
It's like trillions of bytes now.
I was going to say a terabyte time 10 terabytes is my guess.
But it's this is in the 90s, though. How would they even...
Because he said it was coined, so maybe there was a book where he was like, in order to have an AI that is completely susceptible, like can be just like humans, it would have to be one kibibyte.
What's your final guess? What is your final
10
guess?
10 terabytes is my final guess.
How many bytes is that?
1e to the 15th.
Wait, we're so wrong, Andrew.
All right.
Yeah. 100 trillion bytes or something?
I'm ending this right now.
That's crazy.
So here's what a kibibyte is.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Okay.
All right. So computers work with base 2 all the time.
Yeah.
Right? Hard drive manufacturers, for whatever reason or another, like to measure their hard drives in base 10.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I don't know. You'll have to ask a hard drive manufacturer. But Marquez, when you said a kilobyte is 1024 bytes, that's both true and not true. And until the 90s, if you asked a hard drive manufacturer, a kilobyte would be a clean 1,000 bytes.
God.
And if you asked a computer manufacturer, a kilobyte would be 124. Or 1024.
Until the fall of the Roman Empire, the 10th month was December.
So those 24 bytes don't seem like a big deal until you're working with terabyte-sized drives, right? Because now all of a sudden, when you're buying what's advertised as a 2-terabyte drive, but it's actually you're losing 24 bytes per kilobyte.
Right.
You're actually only losing 180 gigabytes of storage. So in 1992, some very smart people came up with the term kibibyte, which accurately refers to 1,024 bytes, saving kilobyte for the clean
1,000.
And nobody uses it.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was invented to make things clearer, and no one adopted it. And so now a kilobyte can still kind of mean either or.
That is really cool.
But that's why when you buy a 2-terabyte drive and it reads as 1.82 terabytes, you don't have...
It's because they're not... Tebibytes.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, that's a fun fact.
Yeah,
right?
That is kind of,
I feel fun right now.
Sounds very human. To
we're all super
better.
Wrong, but I feel like we learned something today.
Yeah.
That's
a win.
Adam will be back. And,
and maybe we'll get some right. We won't learn anything.
The more Andrew
spell
and
Google.
The more Andrew and I were going down that rabbit hole, I was like, wait, no, we're
I
totally
think the minute
wrong.
You saw me calculating on here, you're like,
I saw 1e to the 15, I was like, we're so wrong.
127 was a good guess because it's a, or 128 is a good guess because it's a clean 7-bit number.
Yeah. Somewhere in the.
That's what he was going for.
Well, I was going for underneath 1024, somewhere in the 90s where they were like, oh, your hard drive has finally reached this crazy 128 number. What are we going to call it? We need an advertising term, but I was, you know, whatever.
I thought it was going to be like an like a theoretical, this is what an artificial general intelligence would take up on a platter.
And they're,
I don't know.
They're cute sounding. They go up all the way. There's a tebabyte and a gibabyte and a mebabyte. There's all of them.
Gibabyte.
Yeah, exactly.
Next. Final trivia. Oh, that was the only two.
No, that's it.
Oh, that was it. Okay.
I'll give you a third one if you want.
But no, that, I mean, considering how many zeros we just got,
I think this episode's over.
Yeah, I think we reached the end of this week's episode.
I feel like this happens every week.
Thanks for tuning in.
Descended to madness.
Thanks for listening to Waveform. It's been a fun week. Welcome to smartphone season. I'll see you in the next one. Peace.
You know, David, you did the call out when I was gone. Do you think you could do it again on the spot right now?
Yeah.
Do it. Don't mess up.
Okay.
I'll fix it if you
so don't. When I say produced by this week, still
say,
produced by Adam?
You can say both.
Yeah. For a little, you know.
Pour one out.
He was a good guy.
Okay. So it starts with Waveform and it's produced by, right? All right, ready?
I don't know.
One take wonder. Waveform is produced by Adam Molina and Ellis Roven. Our intro outro music is by, I skipped the whole thing. It was supposed to be the, it was supposed to be the Vox thing at the beginning, right?
I usually do it. Yeah.
So we are.
You also Waveform, don't. I can do it too. I was just trying to put you on the spot.
Waveform is
produced by.
No.
Waveform is produced by Adam Molina and Ellis Roven. We are partnered with Vox Media Podcast.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I'm just making sure I'm respected around here.
Respect. Okay. Waveform.
Same.
You sounded like Yoshi.
Sounded like you just reversed the record player. Waveform.
Okay. Waveform is produced by Adam Molina and Ellis Roben. We are part of the Vox Media Podcast Network, and our intro outro music is by Vane Sill.
Well played.
Great job. Played.
Hi, we're Visible. We're the wireless company with nothing to hide. Seriously. Hidden fees? We don't have them. Annual contracts? Not our thing. Great wireless on just one line? Now that's more like it. Get unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month. Taxes and fees included. That's right, $25 a month, every month. Sorry, hidden fees. We're just not that into you. Sometimes the choice is just Visible. Switch today at Visible.com. Rate with service on the Visible plan. For additional terms and network management practices, see Visible.com.